I'll tell you what, Hokie is very, very high on Arthur Smith. He loves this guy. I think that Smitty, can we call him Smitty or should we go with Artie? Where do you want to go with
this
one?
I'd say Artie.
I like Smitty. You call him what you want, I'll call him what I want. I think that Smitty has done a pretty good job in some areas so far. You know, I'm most interested in the development of Justin Fields at the moment, and I would give him high grades there. Justin Fields, to me, clearly getting better. Would you agree?
Yes, no doubt. And, you know, I think we saw for the first time the real aspect of what he was in Chicago with the fumble, running around near midfield, not just falling on the football, letting the play be dead instead of Indianapolis recovering it. Other than that, though, he's limited mistakes. He's seeing the ball. He's throwing the ball downfield. He's utilizing the middle of the field more and more as every game goes by. And he's making better decisions and looking like a poised quarterback.
Yeah. I hope somebody here asks Smitty about the run out of the shotgun in the first half on 4th and about 6 inches. Why not a quarterback sneak? I think they have I think they have better ingredients right now than Philly for the tush push. What you need for that is a center who moves people. Zach Frazier does that. You need a big, strong quarterback, Justin Fields. And you need somebody pushing from behind who's got a little, determination, strong, all of that. That's Najee, right?
Yeah, I mean, for Najee, I wonder because his style...
I'd rather have him pushing than trying to gain that yard. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. His style is just so much of move straight, move forward, see the hole, hit the hole. Not so much more bouncing between, moving laterally between the line, which is more so Jaylen Warren and Cordell Patterson's game. And I wonder if the blocking schemes that they're running with Arthur Smith's offense, it doesn't seem like it caters to Najee. Not like it should, but he hasn't adapted to it.
Well, let's get to Arthur Smith. We'll just play it uncut. And when I raise my hands or raise a hand, you can stop it and we'll talk about it. But I am, in the meantime, reveling in my live recording of the Mulsey song. I thought I did that well. Can we play that for him when he comes in? I think he's going to like this. I think the juxtaposition of the first voice with the second, this is a 10 out of 10, at least as far as what I was trying to execute.
That's version one.
I've done everything for Mulsey. He's done nothing for me.
That made it. Clearly an improvement over the first cut. Would you agree?
There is a long pause in between them.
But that's for dramatic effect.
Well, sometimes there might be a little bit too much drama in that effect.
Well, as if to say, here comes a second voice. It's going to be very different, and it's going to be lilted. Lilted is the key.
It's like you saw a bird fly into the window out there, and you paused. You just were so in awe. You had to stop yourself mid-sentence.
Let's hear the best of Smitty.
Arthur, it was obviously tough sledding for Najee for big parts of the game. You know, when we asked him afterwards, he said he was facing an 8-man box and it's a free hitter a lot of times. Would you analyze it in the same way that he did, or what's your assessment of that?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously he's out there in the field and, you know, everybody's got different perceptions. And so, you know, a couple of things, you know, last week, some of the things they were doing, they brought a little more pressure than they have. They had been bringing in a lot of edge pressure, and people change it up. That's the game plan. You know, Dallas do the same thing. They'll have something for us. It's just like we do every week. I didn't think we were as clean early in the run game. And there are multiple things that can happen, right? Multiple things can be true in one play. I thought as the game wore down, really the backed up drive and CP happened to be in there. You know, there's usually an adjustment that happens depending on how the game starts, and I thought we got rolling there. But, you know, we've got a strong commitment to the run game. Clearly, Najee has been the lead carrier so far this season. So as you get going in this thing, you know, as you're mixing and matching on linemen, you know, there's a rhythm to the run game as well. And but, you know, you saw probably in the Charter game, right, you could see in sync. But that's something that obviously we're continuing to work through, just like you do every year. And we need to be cleaner, definitely earlier in the game.
Arthur, what's the next?
Okay. So Smitty seems to be saying here, that we made an adjustment and Cordero benefited from that adjustment and Najee would have too. That was the unspoken part that he tried to put out there. Is that what you heard?
Yeah, that's what I heard, but...
I'm not so sure it's correct, and I'm not so sure he's not running cover for Najee here.
That's not what happened. And I wonder, remember that report that you saw about Najee being in a sling and Tomlin was asked about it and said Najee's health is completely fine? I don't think that this really factors into it at all, but do you think that maybe Arthur Smith, because of that, and people might think that Najee's banged up, they're trying to give him a little bit of a pass here?
Maybe. I'm also hoping that if King Arthur was running cover for Najee, he was averaging more than 1 yard per carry. Next.
Arthur, what's the next step you want to see this offense take with Justin?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you really look at it, take a step back, you know, we've been more productive. Yards, points. Obviously, the end result last week, not what we wanted. And same thing, multiple things are true. And he did a good job, but we also hurt ourselves in three scoring position opportunities. The first drive of the game, you know, we're right on the fringe of field goal and we get the personal foul. That's, you could subjectively argue that's 3 points off the board. Then we had the fumble down in the low red. Who knows? It's at worst, you got three there. And then obviously, we're right in that fringe where, you know, it's historically, people usually pressure you there. And then we got sack fumbled. You know, that's arguably 9 points in a 3-point game. You know, the game works out differently. Obviously, those plays don't happen. But when you look back at it, those are the things that hurt you, the turnover margin, and then, you know, taking points off the board.
Okay. I agree with every syllable and quarter syllable he just said. So let's break that down a little bit. Because coaching comes into this now. George Pickens, don't be so careless with the ball. Sometimes it's best to live to fight another day as well. I think that was a combination of him carrying the ball like a loaf of bread for a minute, although he seemed to tuck it back in, but then just, listen, I'm all for fighting for yards, but sometimes you just have to take what you got and you have a first and goal at the three. You've won the little battle there. You're first and goal at the three. Just go down. And certainly don't carry the ball like that. So hopefully some coaching will go into that. Then you had Spencer Anderson and Broderick Jones, in my mind, both committing personal fouls. Jones's was worse. I'm still not convinced they didn't mean him. He was the one talking to the ref after the play. He came in after Anderson and blasted a guy. And you can't do that. You just can't do that. What are you doing? You're at a critical position on the field, as Smith said. You have one of the best kickers in the league, and now you're giving Tomlin a decision. I think he made the wrong one, by the way. I think he should have kicked the field goal anyway. And then the third thing was Justin Fields. That was the one time in the game where he absolutely lost his mind. You know, it looked like he was running a sprint backwards. What are you doing? The fumble call was still questionable, but why would you? Here's what Fields can't do. Is make bad situations worse, because he did that in Chicago. He hasn't done it much here, but that was a critical one where, okay, I've already tried to spin out of this and run 20 yards backwards. I have done something horrible. How could I make it worse? By trying to get up off the ground. That's how. It's already a disaster. Let it end. But he tried to get up, and then there was a questionable ruling, but there was a fumble. Don't make it worse. That's a rule I try to hold in my marriage as well. Limits.
Don't continue to further escalate the problem.
Yes.
That's the thing about the Spencer Anderson, Broderick Jones play. It was like dominoes. One, the first hit, Spencer Anderson, why are you making it? And then if you're Broderick Jones, why are you casting in Spencer Anderson's shadow and doing the exact same thing? It just didn't make any sense.
No, it's three plays that shouldn't have been made, but nobody should need to coach that in any of those instances. But man, some coaching better be happening this week with all four of the players involved there. Next.
All right, you finished that game without five of your top 10 offensive linemen from the preseason. You ever been through a situation like this with that many injuries on your offensive line? And has it gotten to a point where it's impacted as a play caller or a game planner what you are able to do maybe compared to what you would want?
Well, that happens a lot in games. Some of it's, you know, their commitment to try to make you one-dimensional. You've got to adapt and that's in every game schematically. Certainly, you have to have contingency plans. Random years, I don't know what it is. It seems to be the case. Some years you go through and you got the same five entire time, and then other years, you know, it's unfortunate part of the game. And we have, you know, we've got younger guys playing earlier, and I think they're doing a nice job. And then, you know, certainly depth, that can hurt you. But, you know, in game, when you lose a couple backs or if you're mixing and matching, it may take you out of some packages, you know, things that situational stuff, you know, a guy like Mycole Pruitt, and then it forces you, if you want to go bigger, then you've got to use an extra lineman. Well, then you're down a lineman, and then, you know, you're, here's what we're doing situationally. You got to take this, and you got to make, is it even worth calling it? Yeah, those are all in-game decisions. I think 2020, you know, we lost a bunch of tackles in Tennessee that year. But the, nobody cares, you know. Everybody's dealing with something, and it's our job to figure it out and improve and make it work and go win the game.
Thus far, how have you found Justin has been at finding that sort of happy medium between wanting to get the ball to George, the whole concept of him sometimes being open even when he's not, but at the same time not forcing it? Has Justin been good in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, that's a trend around the league. I mean, you see it whether you're playing Dallas and CeeDee Lamb or, you know, some of the other guys they got, or, you know, everybody's got a guy, you know, you wipe the ball, sometimes the cover dictates, sprays around, whatever it is, but everybody's got the same numbers. Usually there's a natural evolution in who your high target guys are, and they know that, especially situational football, third down, 2 minute, red zone, and you got to be able to move on. If they double somebody or, you know, the route's not clean and to move on, then there is a fine line. Sometimes you see guys, you hold on to the ball too long, waiting for a guy to come open, may not be the look you want, something happens and progress, and I think each week he's gotten better at that.
What are you seeing out of your play action game so far? The average depth of target is pretty low. The amount of times that Justin's hitting the check down or hitting the guy in the flat is high. Is it because of pressure? Is it because of what Justin's seeing? What are you seeing out of your play action?
Yeah, I think every snap tells a different story. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the shell defense. That's some of it, right? If you're going to play everything deep to short, you may not get those explosives that way. And I think you're seeing a little bit of a trend. A lot of teams are, probably in the last 5 years, a lot of teams are relying on hard play action, three-level throws, trying to take those shots. But if you're getting, they're playing everything disciplined deep to short, you're going to force you to check it down, which the defense wants. Sometimes they can be explosives. We've had our ops there. And then you're, you know, you're looking at kind of the intermediate play action, depends what they're playing there. And so that's
all right, I'm bored. I'm bored. Are you? He's sunken into, he's been rather lively the first few weeks, and now it's sinking into coach speak.
Yeah, not as much.
What has happened
today
to Smitty? He came here as a very lively character. I'm saddened by this.
Well, I think he is, but I feel like it's also a little bit more difficult coming off of a loss.
Do we have anything else with him on Fields? If you wouldn't mind, Limits, take the best of Artie Smith for the final segment of the show. I know we have Jeff coming up, but if there's one really good clip on Fields, that would be great. I know he said at one point in this interview that Fields was pretty spectacular in the second half, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah, that he is somebody who
that he took
really
over
was
the game.
Yes, that took over the game. We'll try to find that.
Came very close to taking over the game in the second half, and I thought he did. I don't know. Do you guys out there disagree with that? Whatever you think of the Fields-Wilson thing, watching Fields, I was thinking, this guy, this is pretty dynamic stuff. I mean, in the second half, he had, 250 total yards and three touchdowns between running and throwing? It seemed like every time you looked up, he was making something exciting happen. Like, it feels like it's been a while. Let me put it this way. It feels like it's been a while since I watched a Steeler game and before each snap thought, something big might happen on this play. Do you know what I mean by that, Limits?
Yeah, I mean, he is the type of guy where we haven't seen where he's rolled out and a big mistake has happened. Every time he's rolled out to either side of the field and it's kind of been a busted play, just trying to create on the move, they've been plays of 20-plus yards, or
yeah,
at least the
ones
to stand out.
I'm not saying for sure that I think he's the answer or he's proved it or all of that. I'm just saying a feeling I had watching that game as the second half progressed was, my God, something big might happen here. Something big might happen here. Could be him running. Could be him taking off. One thing he hasn't done, by the way, which I think he probably will, is take off for a 40, 50, 60-yard run. He does that. And like you said, throwing on the run, gunning it downfield. I mean, that was fun to watch. That was fun to watch in the second half. And my feeling was the Steelers have a quarterback who can make things happen. Let's hear Artie.
How has Justin, you know, his passing yards have increased every week. He only has two turnovers. How much trust has he earned with you, and how much more does that maybe open up the playbook for what you're, you know, willing to let him try out there?
Well, I think there's a lot of, again, going back to what some of your issues may be strategically in the game plan when you're plugging new linemen in. You know, how aggressive do you feel like you need to be, depending on how the game's going? That is not necessarily just about Justin. Sometimes it's about what's going on around them as well. But certainly, you get week to week, that's what you want to see, that improvement, that trust, the relationship that we have, you know, growing every day. And that does fire you up. It's never going to be perfect. There's things we all got to work on. But certainly, I thought in that second half, what was cool to watch as a coach and a play caller, when somebody gets in that kind of flow, I mean, he was damn near took the game over. And, it, you know, that when that happens and you feel it with a player, it didn't matter what I called. You know, you're just rolling.
That's it. He said it better than I did. That's the feeling I had. He said the same thing, limits. And I think that's a huge change that could potentially result in some big things around here. Potentially, that's all.
Potentially.
Just a little taste, but that's a significant thing. The last time I got the feeling that this quarterback around here can really take over a game and make big things happen was Ben early in 2020, maybe? Maybe. That's it. So I think that's a pretty big deal to at least have that feeling that he just articulated. He was having the exact same thoughts in the press box. I'll call anything. This dude is on a roll.
And he'll just make a play. He will go out there and just kind of, as you said, take over the game, which is something that, not comparing the two, we see Lamar do a lot of the times, whether it be with his legs or take off with his and utilize his arm when the pocket collapses.
Kenny Pickett was never on a roll. Never. He did some really nice things late in games. He'd make a couple things happen. Maybe even a broken play, something like that. Kenny had some good late-game comebacks, but he was never on a roll. He never was.
He never said,
man, this guy's just tearing this defense up, running, passing. You don't know what's going to happen next with Kenny. That never happened, right?
No, I mean...
Right? I mean, it never happened.
Remember, Joe,
not once.
All the games that we were like, is this the game that the Steelers will have, what was it, 300 yards? Was it 400 yards of offense? What was it?
It was 300
yards. 300 yards,
yes.
Of offense. Like, we were saying that for weeks. It went on for the span of a season. I'm saying that now. He threw for 312 last week.
I don't think I ever had that feeling with Kenny. It's just, I mean, it's not, you know, it's just the truth. That's all. I think his best game here was probably the Bengals game last year. Am I right about that? Did he even throw two touchdowns in that game?
That's the other thing. How many times did he throw for two touchdowns? Wasn't it once?
Once against the Raiders last year.
Justin Fields accounted for three last week.
Yeah, and then the Cincy game, he was 24-38 for 278, Kenny was. And he had a really good game, I thought. But even then, they scored 16 points, first of all. Even then, it was never in however many games he started here, something like 25. I literally can't think of one where it's like, man, this quarterback is just dicing these people up and something great could happen at any point. Never had that thought. Had it Sunday in the second half, and so did Artie. Let's wrap this up next. Jeff Hathorn joins us. Any developments on the South Side with the Steelers today? Jeff will let us know. I'm curious about Terrell Austin, if he was asked follow-up questions about Minka and where have all the turnovers gone.